today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, can Americans travel to Mexico on vacation? The answer depends on how you get there. Details next in the travel news.
Travelers all say, we will travel again. Travel companies say, travelers will travel again. So the question is, when and how does this all happen? Ed Perkins, a veteran travel writer, joins us at 3:20 to make us smarter future travelers.
At 3:35, we pause to say farewell to a longtime traveling friend. Judy was a sports leisure traveler, and we had some great times together on the road. Any celebration of life would include a good story or two, don't you think?
Finally, we close out our holiday weekend show by talking a little bit about the history of the Travel Guys. The show's been on the air for nearly 10 years now, but what of the Travel Guys themselves?
A few behind, as soon as they make bail and can get back to broadcast the program, we'll find out. A few behind-the-scenes stories from your host round out the program starting at 3:45. Thank you for including us in your Christmas weekend. We've planned a special show for you. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Look to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
But I want one hand in man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
Well, for heaven's sakes, look what you found on your radio. We are Mark and Tom. We are the travel and entertainment guys. Of course, sometimes we're known as the not traveling, making an attempt at entertainment. But here we are, here till 4 o'clock with some fun stuff. By the way, go to travelguysradio.com. That's our little website. And there you'll find links to some of the stuff we talk about, as well as other goodies that I think you'll enjoy.
It's our little website. Little tiny website. Little tiny thing.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. Anyhow, Mark, how you doing? Good to see you. If I'm calculating correctly, this is the last show of 2020.
It is. It is. And there are very few souls on the planet who will not be glad to see the calendar flip over to 21, believing that it's probably not possible for it to be too much more chaotic. There's almost nowhere to go but up. You know, if this was the stock market, some people might be calling a bottom right now. So
pretty much, yeah. You know, I think we all will have to agree that, you know, come 2021, it's not like a light switch and everything is going to change.
No.
But we all are believing that we're through the worst of it. And 2021 will be that turnaround year where we get a chance to get those vaccines and all begin to travel again.
Yay. Yay. That would be nice, because there's this radio show called The Travel Guys, and at some point they're going to run out of stuff to talk about besides travel. I mean, we're getting fairly close. By the way, speaking of things that were a little bit of a stretch, I want to just say thank you to all of the people who we got a lot of notes about the program last week, about our visit with Santa and stuff like that. And so most people seem to appreciate it. And one lady sent me a note and said it brought back memories. My family used to get together and we read the night before Christmas before we went to bed. And then, you know, Santa would come, and she said, you know, when you guys were doing all of that, I could kind of put myself in the family living room, and there the three kids were sitting around, and we were listening to Dad read the night before Christmas, and then, of course, we would all go upstairs, and nobody would go to sleep for 2.5 hours afterwards. And you'd go peek around the corner, you know, and Dad is trying to put together the train set or the, you know, something that the dollhouse or something like that, and in between swear words and sips of gin or something like that, is trying to make sure that it all comes together. So anyways, thanks to all of those folks who took time to extend their comments about last week's visit to the North Pole. Several people said, well, are you ever going to do that again? And I said, well, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and if you listen to the last half of last week's program, you can hear it. But maybe we will do something like that again. Do you have a nice Christmas, Mr. Romano?
Absolutely, absolutely. Stayed home, stayed safe, you know, Zoomed with the kids, and we did. We had a wonderful time, and can't wait to see it happen all again. New Year's going to stay shut in. How about you?
Clayton came over. I'm single man these days, and Clayton came over, brought some of the ingredients, and I did a little cooking, and we had a nice little dinner together. Because, see, we're always on the road at holidays. So neither one of us really has places that we, you know, regularly. Some people have, you know, rituals, groups of people they get together with at the holidays. Well, I've told people no for 40 years. So nobody asks me anymore. I mean, you know, it's kind of taken for granted that you'll be in some faraway place, and most of the time I am. So we got together and had a very nice little two-person Christmas lunch yesterday or brunch yesterday, and we've done the same thing for Thanksgiving. So that was nice. Hopefully next year we'll be back on the road again.
Great. I'll be looking forward to being able to invite you over for next year, and you tell me no because you're on the road. This year I could have invited, I could have, but couldn't invite you over, so
right,
there you
because
are.
Because I might have actually shown up.
Well, folks, this is the Travel Guys, and at the top of every one of our programs, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. So with that, Mark, what you got?
Well, thanks to Mr. Huey Lewis, who never seems to get any older, you know? Let's see here. Americans going to Mexico. So I was confused last week. I got to thinking, why is everybody talking about going to Mexico when the border is closed? And the Canadian border is closed. You don't hear about people going to Canada. You don't read articles about airlines putting on 80,000 extra seats on the holiday week to Canada, like they did to Mexico. And I'm like, well, if you can't go to Mexico, how are all these people getting there? I mean, I don't do a lot of travel business in Mexico. I personally have never been much further than the outskirts of Tijuana. So I'm not really a Mexican traveler. So it was time to do a little homework. First thing I did when we got off the radio was I wrote, sent an email to Chris Elliott. And I said, if you have a minute, would you explain this to me? And he sent me back a couple of links, which kind of got me going. And then I realized that what the moral to the story is. You cannot go to Mexico. You cannot take your automobile, drive down to San Diego, and go to the border crossing. They are going to say, not happening. But if you want to get on an airplane and go to Mexico, you can do that. This explains why all of the extra seats were added on. In particular, at Los Cabos, they actually have gotten some good marks. We mentioned it earlier on this program a couple months ago about their COVID protocols down there. So be careful if you go anywhere. But that is where people are fleeing to. You cannot go – well, you can go to Canada if you want to. But Canada and Kauai are kind of in the same boat right now in that if you go to Canada, you're going to spend – when you go in, they're going to want you to have – you're going to have to show them your 14-day quarantine plan. Where are you going to be? How are you going to get supplies? That you've thought this through and that's what you're going to do because otherwise they're not going to let you into the country. So it's possible to get into Canada. Border crossings in Canada are open and there are some exceptions, some compassion exceptions and some other things, but the border crossings are not open 24/7 like they used to be. So best advice right now, stay home. Hopefully we won't get much of a spike over this whole Christmas thing, and it'll be safer to travel soon. But that's the deal. If you're going to Mexico and you fly in, then of course, and lots of folks have known this for weeks and probably been wondering why the guy on the radio didn't know it too, but now it's been explained to him. Delta Airlines had a really big problem. Remember that Thanksgiving, Tom? They had hundreds of flights that got canceled.
Did we ever find out why?
They never really said. They said, well, we had an awful lot of last-minute cancellations when people were advised not to cancel. We had an awful lot of people who bailed at the last minute because there was no charge for canceling the ticket. Well, that kind of, sort of, maybe, possibly made some sense. Well, gosh darn it, the same thing didn't happen to them this last week. They ended up canceling 250 flights on Wednesday and then more on Christmas Eve and then about 100 flights on Christmas Day. Delta says this time the company line is two reasons. One is there was a big snowstorm in Minneapolis on Wednesday and they had a lot of crews get stuck. and they couldn't get people out and get them to where they were supposed to be. The other thing that sounds fairly plausible is that the airlines have a lot of people go. So while more government aid might put these people back on the payroll, they're not on the payroll right now. So you can't just pick up the phone and say, you know, I know we told you 2 weeks ago that you were out of a job, but we kind of need you now. It doesn't really work that way. So Delta says that they had to cancel a lot of flights because of the fact that they didn't have people in the right places and they didn't have backup people to manage the situation. So I guess that's probably a sort of a plausible explanation. It doesn't, however, explain to people who had a flight on Delta and couldn't go what was going on. So Delta's kind of handled this whole situation pretty well up until now. It's funny, Tom, how airlines over my life in the travel industry, every airline cycles about every 10 years. Somebody different is the best and somebody different is the worst. And you go a couple of years and whoever's the worst says, well, we got to get our game together, and they get better. And whoever's on the top, I guess they say, well, you know, we're up here. Nobody can touch us. We don't need to work as hard anymore. And then somebody else takes them down. But the Delta has for quite a while now really been considered one of the best service-wise. I'm really fond of Southwest, but of course Southwest isn't international. They don't have two-cabin service, et cetera, so Delta's a little different operation. A couple of quick travel notes here. First time in 50 years, the French Quarter is welcoming a new hotel. It's not a big hotel, 83 guest rooms. It is the 111 Hotel. It's a former Louisiana sugar refining company. It's the first time that a new property has opened in the French Quarter with more than 10 rooms in 50-plus years. People who have travel on Viking cruise lines are still having problems getting money back for cruises that are canceled and just getting vouchers. Remember that if the supplier cancels your cruise or your airline, then you're entitled to a full refund if you wish it. So don't accept the vouchers. Go for the cash. If they tell you they can't give you the cash, press the issue. Elliott2Ls2Ts.org. They can help you if you get into a spot there. Remember, if you're flying or even if you're not, Sacramento International Airport has its own COVID testing site. You do not have to fly to use it. There are links at TravelGuysRadio.com for travelers and non-travelers. You must have an appointment. It is free. So if you need to be COVID tested because you're traveling or not, you can get it at the Sacramento airport. Just make an appointment. Tom, I think that the next time I hear of somebody in my circle who needs a COVID test, I'm going to suggest they go out and get that. I want to go out and do it myself, but I hate to just go out and just get in the way. Carnival is putting on its first ship with natural gas for the first time next month, they hope. Actually, this is April when the Mardi Gras will sail. And a mysterious gingerbread monolith appeared in a San Francisco park this week. Kind of fun. We had the monolith in Utah. That was metal. This one was made out of gingerbread. You can go to TravelGuysRadio.com and find out some information on a lot of those stories. And that's your travel news for today.
All right. Up next, Ed Perkins, veteran travel writer, joins us to talk about when we'll travel again. That's next here on The Travel Guys. Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, always the travel and entertainment guys, sometimes known as the not traveling and trying to entertain guys, and brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And it's only by the blessing of being able to hook up with people that are longtime travel experts that we can bring you information to, even in this COVID time, make you a smarter traveler. Mark, welcome back, one of our favorite guests of all time here on The Travel Guys.
We are very lucky here on The Travel Guys to have a couple of the country's best consumer advocates as part of our guest list. And Ed Perkins is joining us from Ashland, Oregon. Ashland, right, Ed?
That's correct.
Yeah. I think I said Medford the last time we talked to you, but Ashland would be correct. Ed lives in Southern Oregon and still writes for the Chicago Tribune, among other travel writing gigs. And we check in with him from time to time when we've got things that are really critical on the travel front. The most critical thing on the travel front right now, Ed, is how do we get everybody, the entire travel industry, out of intensive care?
Well, that I think everybody kind of knows what the main paths to that are going to be. It's a combination of widespread testing and widespread vaccination. I mean, I think that the one thing everybody knows is that leisure travel is certainly going to come back strong as soon as it's safe to travel again. Business travel, people are talking about maybe that's going to be a lot longer to come back. But for people who want to go to Disney World or want to go vacation in the Alps or want to go to Hong Kong, as soon as it's safe for them to do so, they're going to be doing it. And what it's going to take is the availability of quick, cheap testing and the widespread availability of vaccines, and, of course, the way that everybody, airlines, destinations, everybody, can validate that the people that are coming through their doors are, in fact, safe.
Ed, do you think, on the testing side of things, who do you think ultimately ends up paying for this? Do you think that, I mean, we're getting down to where instant testing and stuff is in the $30 to $50 range. I can foresee a situation here before too long when you can go to the airport, get an instant test, know in 5 minutes if you're clear to go, and now you go drop your bag, and it becomes part of the check-in process almost. Who ultimately do you think? Do you think the airlines will be desperate enough for customers that they'll be willing to eat that to start with, or do you think the onus is going to be on the traveler from the beginning?
That's a good question, and I don't have a clear answer to it. It might even be one of the things that it's included on some of the more expensive fares and not included on the cheapest ones. That's the way the airlines go with a lot of extras these days, and they might very well do the same thing with tests. I also think that the out-of-pocket cost of the test is likely to go down. So it might very well be something that at least at some fare levels, the airlines will swallow.
You know, Ed and Mark, the thing that concerns me, you know, we get rapid testing, we get quick testing, we get free testing, whatever, you know, is still it's back to the same thing with the accuracy of the tests. You know, if we're going to be dealing with tests that are rapid and they only give you 50, 60% accuracy, then you're not getting me in that building. I've got to know that the accuracy level on a regular basis is going to be up.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And it's got to be coupled with vaccination.
Ed, do you see a timeline here? I'm a tour operator. January, February is already off the calendar. I think I have one tour that is scheduled to depart, a motor coach tour that's scheduled to depart the last day of February that's going to Laughlin and stuff, and I'm thinking that one has a chance just because of where it's going and that the weather will be warmer there. But we've taken a couple of our trips off the board for March, but we've left the rest of it March, April, May. You know, we're generally pretty busy on the cusp of the summer travel season. If you were making a reservation right now, Ed Perkins, with all that you know, and you had to put down a deposit for a trip, when would you be comfortable making that travel reservation for?
If I had to put money down, I would say midsummer.
So you're thinking by midsummer there's a pretty good chance that travel will be back to some level of normalcy.
Yes, I'd say maybe June or July, sometime around in there. I mean, personally, I am planning my already twice postponed trip to Switzerland for mid to late April, but I'm not putting any money out. Everything I've got out arranged is either fully refundable or not yet paid. Just pay when you get there.
Our company, our policy kind of for the last year has been to cancel things far enough in advance that we're not committed to the airlines for tickets or we're not committed to hotels or things of that sort. We've kind of been tried to be stewards of our people's money. When you give your money to a travel provider, like Sports Leisure Vacations or Tauk Tours or Carnival Cruise Lines, you're trusting that they're going to take care of it. And Ed, some people were perhaps not as good of guardians of people's money as they should have been this last time around.
By the way, I think that taking the position that you have taken for your company is going to help anybody who wants to start selling travel in this marketplace. That the ability to go out there and tell the customers, okay, you can give me, I'm asking for your money, but I guarantee you a cash refund if I have to cancel. And I think that would be a very, very strong market builder.
And we're lucky in the state of California, we have the seller of travel laws that kind of sort of require me to put the money. I mean, there's a law that says you better take these people's money and yep. you better have it until the time comes. It'll be interesting to see as this plays out, Ed and Tom, how many people in California go belly up. And, you know, there's a fund that is supposed to replace people's money. So we'll see how that fund holds out. Tom, you had a last question there?
Yeah, Ed, you mentioned cruise lines. Let's just you thinking that sometime midsummer things are going to head back to semi-normal. I don't think we'll
call
it that.
Yeah, how are they going to get floating Petri dishes going again?
Yeah,
how's
that look to you, Ed?
I think that's going to be one of the slowest markets to recover for exactly the reason you suggest. That a cruise ship is kind of the worst kind of environment to be in when there's a chance of getting infected with something. So I think that that's going to be slow to recover, and I don't know yet what all the cruise companies are going to be doing, but I'm sure they'll be doing whatever they think they can to reassure people in terms of onboard medical services and guarantees of refunds and all that kind of thing. But I would be very reluctant myself to book a cruise until, say, late summer or fall.
Well, my friend, take care of yourself. Stay safe. Tom is locked down in his house with an armed guard outside.
Yep.
Has only been outside to molest a squirrel and bother the neighbors a couple of times. So.
You didn't say that on the radio.
Our office here at Sports Leisure Vacations is kind of closed. We come in and answer the phones a few hours a week so folks can get a hold of us. But hope springs eternal in the holiday season, and we will be back on the road before too long. Ed, we will have things to talk about besides a virus, I promise.
I'll hold you to that.
Ed is such a great guy, and he's got a wealth of knowledge. We can make guesses, others that just, you know, take a shot at it. But Ed, I think that if you want to put it in the book.
He's been around a while. He's seen a few things. So that knowledge is worth something in situations like this. That's why I thought. And wasn't it interesting? He said, well, I wouldn't do anything until middle of the summer. But then again, I've got my trip to Switzerland in April that I've postponed twice and I'm really hoping to go. So he is absolutely just about like everybody else. Everybody's got a hope to go to one. But, you know, really, I might not be able to do that.
I want to know what the trip that you don't have to pay for it until you get there. I heard that. Uh-huh. And then I heard it again when we did some editing. And I've been thinking about it, and I'm still not exactly sure what he was talking about.
Hey,
anyway,
coming up
folks,
after the news, we've got something kind of special coming up.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the travel guys. We've been on the air for almost 10 years. We're going to share some personal insights into Mark Hoffman and yours truly. That's coming up next right here on The Travel Guys. Stick around. Thank you very much. One of my favorite, the non-traditional Christmas songs, almost tradition now since it's been around for so long, Dan Fogelberg. Welcome, everyone. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And before we talk about Mark and Tom, let's, Mark, I want you to take over here and talk about one of your travelers that had a number of Sports Leisure Vacations trips
yep.
with you over
years. We don't do this often, but I want to do it today. We lost one of our travelers this last week. Judy had traveled with us for a long time, and I need to preface this with the fact that there is more than one lady with the same name who travels for our company. So with our company. So I'm talking about Judy Wood, and Judy had a daughter named Sandy who traveled with us. So hopefully that will narrow it down just a bit. But anyway, Judy passed last week, and she had traveled with us for a lot of years. I remember sitting with her daughter and Chris Galloway on the patio at the Royal Lahaina, sharing, breaking bread and sharing stories and stuff a few years ago. Her daughter Sandy unfortunately passed away a few years back. Judy kept traveling. She had 9 trips on the books for next year. It's almost impossible to have more than 9 on the books. Several of them were trips from this year. And, you know, it's, Tom, we talked a couple, I mentioned a couple weeks ago how people talk about how, well, you know, it just has to be put off for a year. You can wait a year. And how some folks, as you get older, your travel window might close on you, or the whole window might close on you. And that's, you know, kind of what happened to Judy here, is that, you know, 1 year, those are 9 trips that won't get taken. So that's kind of unfortunate. One of my favorite Judy Wood stories, though, is we were at spring training 1 year. She loved baseball. Chris Galloway was down there with me helping with the group, and we had gone and had lunch at one of our favorite places in Tempe, the Mellow Mushroom, and then I wandered off somewhere, and the two of them went to one of my favorite dessert places, this place called Rita's. There was a couple of them in Sacramento. They sell Italian ice and custard, and you can combine those in all kinds of fun ways and make fun things, and anyway, it's one of my favorite places. And so Judy and Chris went and had dessert without me. So every time I got on the bus and saw Judy thereafter, up until this day, I reminded Judy that she owed me a dessert, because, you know, she went, I'm sure the people on the bus thought I had built it was a lunatic, but the lady owed me a dessert, and gosh, now she's gone. It's a debt that'll never be paid. Hey, listen, Luis is telling me here that we have a special guest on the line. Chris Galloway is joining us. You there, Chris?
Hey, I am. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. You must have maybe heard this from the other side of the country or something there. We were talking about our friend Judy Wood, and
yes.
I was just telling the story about the Ritas that she still owes me, which that debt will now transfer to you.
Lovely.
Owe that. Do you have anything that you would like to share here about our friend Judy, who traveled with us for so many years?
Well, you know, she and I traveled together quite often. We took a lot of international trips and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So in 2010, I remember we were headed to Japan, and I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but a lot of our ladies will go get the hair done before a trip, you know, just so they look nice.
But back in the old days, yeah.
Back in the old days. But, you know, about halfway through the trip, you know, you could see a little wear and tear, right? Well, that was the case here. This was like a 10 or 14 day trip. I don't quite recall, but you know, she comes down one day about halfway through the trip and she looks $1 million. And so, you know, I slide next to her. I said, "Did you go get your hair done?" And she leans in close and whispers, "It's a wig." Well, it was a very convincing wig. I obviously didn't know. Well, I can't tell you exactly what led up to this, but let's just say we were at dinner one evening, and there was a lot of free-flowing sake and beer, and I ended up in the wig. But somehow, I put the wig on backwards, and everybody cracked up laughing. And I recall somebody said, "It looks like a squirrel on your head." So from that point on, we called the wig the squirrel. That was just its name, the squirrel. So a year or two later, we're leaving on another international trip, and, you know, we're sitting around the departure gate in Sacramento, and I just lean over to her, and I say, "Have you got, and, you know, it's a squirrel going along." Well, a couple of the people looked around, and they're like, "What is he talking about, the squirrel?" Lo and behold, she whips this thing out of her bag and starts introducing it to everyone at the gate. "Here, meet the squirrel. Here, pet the squirrel."
Oh, boy.
Oh, I mean, the squirrel was a fixture when Judy was on a trip.
Oh, goodness. Any other throwbacks?
All right, I'll make this one quick. So Judy loved the National Enquirer. And
oh my goodness.
You know me, I love trash TV. So that is one area that we always agreed on. So when she would come along on the trips, she always had the most current, but she would bring 4 or 5 of the older ones for me to read and I'd catch up. Well, I remember, again, we were sitting at a gate and she's passing these to me and people are teasing us. I can't believe you're reading that stuff. And everybody says that, but you know when you're standing in the grocery store line, you may not actively thumb through, but you always read the headlines, right? I mean, how else are you going to know where Elvis is living these days? So she's got this collection, and people are teasing us, but we get on the flight, and it's a Southwest flight, so we all kind of sit in this little cluster. About halfway through the flight, all I see are copies of National Enquirer going up and over the headrest and being passed across the aisle. So all these people that were teasing us, every one of them got caught up on their gossip on that flight, and dinner time conversation was a hoot.
I could just see looking down the aisle of a Southwest plane and seeing all these people reading the National Enquirer.
That's great.
You know, if you were with Judy, you were laughing, you were having a good time.
Oh, my goodness. Chris, thank you. Those are great stories. It's always sad to lose a traveler. You know, I tell people, Tom, on the surface, it may look like we're just a travel outfit and these are our customers. But what I think is that Sports Leisure Vacations is more than just a tour company. And the people who go with us are more than just the travelers. And
they are. They become family. I've often thought about the relationship that you guys have with your clients, mature travelers. You spend days, weeks at times, and then on multiple trips. So they do become part of your family, which makes it even tougher when you lose one. Back in the days of the Music of Your Life radio, where you and I first met, mm-hmm. we went down that road because it was that generation that from month to month you would lose listeners.
Yeah.
And you've been in this situation for over 40 years, Mark, of having people that travel with you that you lose and others take their place. So, you know, God bless all of you for hanging in there and being part of these people's lives and making their dreams come true. You should be pretty pleased. And for Judy's family, anybody that's listening, she was clearly loved by the Sports Leisure Vacation staff and travelers that traveled with her, I am sure.
People on the bus used to say, boy, Mark really teases you a lot. He must really like you because he only teases people that he likes. So to Judy, rest in peace, our friend. Chris, thank you for calling in and sharing that National Enquirer story. That's classic. I can just picture that. Knowing Judy, I can look down the aisle and I can see that happening. So thank you, my friend. We will be back on the road, I hope, before too long, Chris.
I hope so. Fingers crossed.
All righty. Thank you. Chris Galloway calling in. Just doing a little kind of celebration of life there for one of our travelers who passed away last week, a good friend, Judy Wood. When we come back from this break, Tom, you were talking about Music of Your Life. And, boy, I'll bet you one or two people out there said, oh, wow, I remember that. We'll tell you a little bit about the history of these two travel guys when we come back right after this timeout.
Come away with me.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Thanks for joining us. Mark, let's take a dip into the past.
Into the past?
Yes.
This is what people do when they either do greatest hit shows, you know, around the holidays.
Right.
But I thought we had some legitimate entertainment, and plus we had to go talk to Santa. So we have still this one little spot. I thought it would be fun to talk. You and I have known each other for a long time. You've had quite a career in radio. We met about, oh, gosh, it must have been, what, 3+ decades, 4 decades ago?
Long time. Yeah, I would say mid-80s.
K108 FM, which was KXOA.
And KXOA AM.
Yep. We're in the same building. We're in Old Sacramento.
The Music of Your Life.
I went down to see about doing some radio commercials for the first time, and the lady that I spoke to, she says, well, are you going to do your own commercials, or have you done commercials before? I said, no, I really don't know what I'm doing here. She says, well, I think I have just the guy you need to talk to. And she brought me down the hallway and introduced me to the janitor. No, she introduced me to you. And so that's how we got started. But before you had been at KXOA, you'd been in radio for a while. I think it started maybe back in Modesto, I'm thinking.
Yeah, you know, I did. I was always fascinated with radio as a kid. Spent a lot of time with a transistor radio. We lived out in the country, around the corner from back in the days when radio stations and their transmitter site and their broadcast site were the same. So they'd be out in the middle of nowhere. So K5 in Modesto originally was KMOD. Get it? Modesto, K-Mod. And anyway, so I was fascinated by what went on in that building. And many years later, I was playing in a band, and I met the DJ that was the program director and started hanging out there and decided that I'd give that a go. I was their news guy for a while. I was terrible at that. Plus, I just didn't like, it was okay except for covering accidents. So I decided the DJ always seemed to be having way more fun than the news guy. So I became the DJ, eventually landed in Sacramento at KCRA Radio, which was adjacent to the TV station. We were the radio station where the news came first, and that was early 70s, and I was given free rein to do some pretty wacky things on the radio that I had developed over the years. And one of them was we just played games. And if you can believe it, they used to let me bring my guitar to work.
You did all kinds of crazy stuff on that radio
program. We did a thing called the No Talent Talent Contest.
Yes.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you told me that you were a young whippersnapper. Mark's somewhat younger than me. I think
I'm a few years younger than you are, yes.
Yeah, his mom and dad would listen to the radio station on the way to take Mark to school.
Yeah.
And that was his first introduction to, you know, Tom Romano with 4 hours of Italian Love and the No Talent Talent Contest.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, one of the contestants on that during National Secretary's Week turned out to be a gal that was the winner. And not only did she win the little contest, she won my heart and is now Mrs. Romano.
Now, wait a minute, though. You're skipping over the best part of the story. She won. She was supposed to win a trophy or a plaque or something, and she came to pick up the plaque.
That's correct. She came to pick up what I promised was going to be a trophy, and it was, as in typical DJ fashion, was not available, was not there. They called me from the front.
It.
No, I hadn't. They called me from the front desk of the TV radio station, and I went out, and here's this beautiful little 20-year-old. Going, oh, I won in your contest, and I'm going, oh, I'm so sorry, sweetheart. I'll tell you what, give me your number again, because I'm sure I lost it. And I will.
What a great pickup line this is.
I'll get you that trophy. So I immediately after work went down to the trophy shop and had a little trophy made, and then I called her up and offered to deliver it myself, so she would have to come back to the radio station. And being the naive gal that she was and easily influenced, she said yes and said yes a few more times after that. So anyway, sometime later, I was at KXOA. I met Mark. We started doing commercials together. I helped Mark with his projects for many years thereafter. We took different paths for a while. In fact,
Mark, you went to San Francisco for a while.
I did. I went to San Francisco, worked at KNBR and into sports there. And while I was doing that, Mark, while running a travel company for nearly 20 years, became a sportscaster or a talk show sports guy.
Yeah.
Was that something you always wanted to do?
I will confess to you that the travel business was totally by accident. That's just something that I was the guy. As a little kid, I used to move the Tonka trucks around the floor and pick up Scrabble numbers, letters. I think that could have been a precursor to what's going on now. But no, the one thing I wanted to be a baseball player, but I'm not an athlete. So that quickly went down the tube. So then I thought, well, I could be one of those baseball announcers. That would be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So when a friend of mine who worked at a local radio station, they were sold and went all sports, KSAC, 1240, which had been KROY for some of us growing up, and little station, weak signal, They went all sports. Friend of mine sent me a note, says, I know you're crazy about sports. This must be something that you would be able to get, would want to get involved in. And so I started doing a commentary called Just One Man's Opinion twice a week.
Oh, I've heard of that on the Travel Guys.
Yeah, yeah. And so that caught on. They offered me a program, an hour once a week. And then one day, the guy who was doing the afternoon drive fell into some hard times, and they needed somebody on very short notice, and they said, you. And so we did that for a while, and then the station went Spanish, and that little part of my dream was over. But and that was in the in the 90s, so it was 15 years before the idea of the Travel Guys came up. And I thought about it for a while, and then I got to talking to Karen Onstadt at the station there, and she says, well, I think it's a good idea. I think we could make this happen. And so Karen was a person who made things happen. She's retired now, but boy, she could get things done.
Right. And Karen, so you'll know, was the one who introduced Mark and I back at the KXOA days.
At a different station, yeah.
She did. She was influential in two ways. One, putting us together, and two, putting the Travel Guys together. And
I had been told for many, many years that if you were in business, that particularly the travel business, that, you know, you wanted to show people you were an expert, you wanted to have a column or a radio spot or something like that that you could do regularly. I never really dreamed of the hour long thing, and I had no idea you've got to have somebody who knows radio and knows what they're doing. When I was doing sports in the 90s, I went into a studio in Old Sacramento, and I had a guy across from me, like Luis, who made all the magic happen. All I had to do was sit there and babble a little bit. And so when we thought about the Travel Guys, once again, there had to be somebody who knew what the heck they were doing, because I'm not a professional broadcast man, and you've been immersed in that your whole life. I mean, you've got a studio in your house, so... You were the perfect guy, and thank goodness that Karen put us together. And then all those years later, we come together again. And I think you pointed out in January, in just a few weeks, this radio show will celebrate its 10th anniversary.
At least. I'll have to go back and look at the timestamps on some of our shows. But it's been a while, and it's gone by rather quickly. Of course, without the listeners, it'd be kind of pointless. We've grown this audience quite a bit, and I think under your direction, Mark, as you've been able to give this show a certain amount of liberty and not put it in a box, and we don't spend a whole lot of time, if any, ever really selling anything. We talk about sports, leisure, vacation trips when you have them. And we just kind of keep it out there and enjoy the time together and enjoy talking about travel and making people's dreams come true. And a personal thank you for, having me as your guy, as your other travel guy.
Yeah. Well, it's, like we say, I'm the travel guy who knows the radio guy, and you're the radio guy who knows the travel guy, which is why this has worked so well. I can remember us doing commercials years ago where we took a Sports Leisure catalog, and part of the premise of the whole thing was you were cutting my picture out of the catalog, and I asked you what the heck you were doing, and so I was cutting your picture out of the catalog so it'd look better. And do you know that for years after that, people would tell me about that guy? I remember that commercial you did with that guy where he was cutting your picture out of the catalog, so it was we definitely have had some interesting times over the years, and it's fun now to be able to talk on the radio about travel and tell people about, I've been very lucky as an adult. I've spent almost all of my years making people's dreams come true. Big dreams.
There you go. Was there, when you were a young boy, well, you mentioned you were thinking about being a baseball player.
Yeah.
And I think you told me that early on, because you worked for Parks and Rec for some time.
Yeah.
Before you
Mission
got
Oaks.
Into the travel business. And with that being said, just briefly, why Park and Rec?
It was just something that I accidentally stumbled onto. And Park and Rec is how I got to my first Giants baseball game. And so I decided that anybody who would take people to baseball games must be a pretty good outfit. And I ended up going to work there. And, yeah, so that was the folks at Mission Oaks Park District. That's where I – and then a tax law came along, and Mark's position disappeared, and he started running trips to baseball games, and then the rest of it is pretty much history. But anyway, thanks for allowing us to share a little bit of our history with you this afternoon.
Well, you guys have a great New Year's, okay? And we'll see you next time, next Sunday, 3 o'clock. First Travel Guys of the new year. Mark?
Dance like nobody's watching.